Hey everybody, this is Tom, and after a long time, we are back.
I thought you were doubting yourself there for a second, like, wait.
No, we apologize, I apologize, I've been away, have had some job training the last couple of weeks, been really busy myself, and haven't really had enough time to devote to making this the type of show that we want, and I know that you guys expect. So it's been about a month. I think the longest.
Wow! Yeah. It's our longest hiatus. So.
Longest hiatus.
In the middle, I did throw out a little bonus episode just to play some cool music we were listening to, and just kind of say we're still around. We didn't forget about you. And but there's a lot of stuff we are working on. We're getting this episode together. We're gonna be talking about behind the scenes. We're getting ready to put up the website. So we're getting that in the works. We got a lot going on. Like I said, the good news is that Tom got a job. Thank you, Obama.
Yeah, and let's get back to what we always do. First off, we've got the three albums. We mentioned those about a month ago.
Yeah.
We've got Hot Chip with One Life Stand, Ted Leo and the Pharmacist with Brutalist Bricks, and finally, a new one from a artist who's been around for quite some time, but was gone for a little bit, Gil Scott Heron with the aptly named album I'm New Here. And this week I'm not going to do any news. I don't know if Tim's going to do any.
No, the only thing I can say is because we've had, like I said, we've had a hiatus, and for the most part it's been very nice, very enjoyable. We've got a lot of stuff going on, so it was nice to take a little break, nice to get back into it all, and overall, I think I've been very happy with a lot of the music I've been listening to over the last couple weeks, and most of the music news, interesting, funny in some places, but on a down note, I just wanted to mention that I seriously hope it's a rumor and there's no validity to it, but Robert Pattinson, his name is up to be to play the role of Kurt Cobain in a movie about his life.
Mm.
I hope it's a rumor because the other half... Have you read that, Tom?
No.
Because the other half of it is that Courtney Love said that she wanted Scarlett Johansson to play her. Who is she? Think she is?
Oh, it is Courtney Love, and she's a little bonkers in the head.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Let's get back into this episode. And we do have some other little news to talk about. Tom's been to a couple concerts that he's been wanting to talk about. So why don't you get that started?
Yes, definitely. A couple weeks ago, I think you guys may remember, I was going to go see the band Big Pink with Place to Bury Strangers at the Metro. Got to go to that show. I went there mainly for Place to Bury Strangers because I think both Tim and I had them on our top, their last album as one of our top tens, or at least on our list. So I was really looking forward to seeing them. Big Pink, I was not as much looking forward to see them. Last year they were one of those bands that everybody was talking about. And then opening for Big Pink and A Place to Bury Strangers was a local, I'd say synth, electronic band called Gatekeeper. This was, to me, the big surprise of the night. I came in, usually the opening band, you get a sort of opening band that you really could care less about. I was really surprised by this band. Definitely, I'm glad they're from Chicago. Definitely going to keep a lookout on about them. I played some tracks for Tim. I think you enjoyed what you heard from them.
Yeah.
They remind me of Goblin. Had that that atmospheric sound of those early '80s horror movies.
Heavy on the synth.
Yeah, definitely.
And moody. Yeah, it was definitely a really cool few tracks that you played and. After I leave here, I got their MySpace up, so where you can also go, which is myspace.com /iiigatekeeper. Or you can just Google it, and I just Googled Gatekeeper. It was like the second link. So very cool. Like I said, they have, what, 6 tracks up here?
Yeah, 6 tracks or so.
Yeah, so you can go ahead and listen to them yourself. Really, really neat.
And going back to the other two bands, the one band I went there to see, Place to Bury Strangers, it was a good show. Place to Bury Strangers started off very sort of soft, not that loud. Tim, you may have heard, I'm not sure, that they've been called one of New York's loudest bands.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not disappoint. I'm very glad I brought ear protection, because if not, I would have been deaf for a while, or deafer than I already am. I really enjoyed that. They played a lot of different stuff. Definitely recognized their stuff from their last album. And then Big Pink was the headliner. And Big Pink's out of the UK. Have to say, this was a definite... I really liked their beginning songs. They were heavier, more rock based. I mean, if you've listened to Big Pink, you've heard they're sort of like they've got a like electronic sound to them, to a sense. Really enjoyed their first stuff. As it went on, sort of went downhill. They played their one song from their newest album, that was sort of the big hit of the last year was Dominoes. That song, when I first listened to it on the album, I really enjoyed it. After a while, just got annoyed by it. I have to say, definitely, if the stuff from the beginning set is from new stuff, then I'll be happier. Because really, after successive listens off Brief History of Love, which is their last album, not really happy about that. But overall, it was a good show. I would love to go see Gatekeeper just by themselves at a show, and that being that they're from Chicago, I don't think I'll have a problem with that. And I'm sure Tim would love to go see them as well. Tim... while we were on hiatus, you went to a little...
That's correct, yeah. One of the first weeks of our hiatus, yes, that is correct. I went out to Horror Hound Weekend, something that I think we played a couple of ads for Horror Hound on the show, and ever since we moved over to Penny Cult, that's even been more of a reason to go ahead and check out Horror Hound Weekend. Pretty much everyone was there. Almost all the Penny Culters, minus a couple of podcasts, but I got a chance to meet Slug in person. We've talked about his show at slugcast.net. We've mentioned him a couple of times. I saw Jay and Stu, Questionable Mike, from the Obscure 80s show. You know, I really didn't get a chance to hang out too much. You know, I think bottom line, just to kind of recap the whole weekend, because it's been a while, and there's no real stories to tell, except if you do decide to go out and check out Horror Hound Weekend with us, they do it in Indy, and then they also do it in Cincinnati in November, which is probably going to be the next one. Hopefully, we'll be able to go out to, but prepare yourself. I was talking to some of the people, because the first one I've been at, I was talking to some of the people, and they're saying it was crazy busy. They probably have never, I don't think they've seen that kind of attendance. So if you do get there, get your tickets early and figure out if you want to get signatures from people. Get those signatures first before doing anything else. I think that's going to be the trick to it all. That, and now I know that Horror Hound is all about hanging out at the bar after the convention. We did that Saturday night only for a little bit. Unfortunately, both Esther and I had a cold. So, I mean, we really couldn't stick it out the whole night. We were kind of dragging ass. But hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be able to hang out at the bar after hours, see a lot more podcasters, and really, really get a chance to talk. Like I said, it was pretty much very brief, the chatting up the podcasters, which was bigger for me, talking to fellow podcasters and all the nerds.
Yeah.
You know, and Tom, you have to come with us.
Yeah, because, we'll go next time. We'll try to do this, do an episode there. That would be a great thing to do.
I wanted to do one, but you know what, even if I did have the equipment up and running like we were planning on it, it would have been very difficult. Some of the podcasters, they have the good little recording mics, the little carry-around mics, I think they're called Zooms. Mm-hmm. Zooms, yeah, I think that's what it is. And, you know, they were going around actually talking to people and getting proper interviews. And, like, NOTLP and, I forgot the other show. Sorry, guys, but they actually had vendor booths. They actually had a little place there, and they're actually all set up with their recording mics. And I just gotta say, their portable gear is 100 times better than the crap we got. It's so cool to see pseudo-professionals do it, but, yeah, it was really cool, very eye-opening. I got a chance to talk to a lot of cool people. That was the important part, is finally meeting our podcast family out there from Penny Cult. And by the way, check out pennycult.com. The whole site has been going through revisions. As soon as we get our website up and running, we'll actually have real links up on the site, as opposed to just placeholders and some new artwork up there, etc. I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure there's something else I was going to say. Well, for the time being, let me just go ahead and do the quick plug. Please visit us at knownothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. That's where we are currently located. Subscribe to our podcast. Add us to your pod catcher, pod feeder, whatever it is. And that way, you can go ahead and, as soon as our site is up and running, we'll let you know where to go to get the newest, latest, best, accurate RSS feed, so you can go ahead and keep listening to us. The show's going to be going through a lot of revisions in the next few months. We're going to be incorporating some more music into the stuff. Our last few episodes have been kind of dry, so we're going to be... once it's a little easier for us to just go ahead and hook up the MP3 player and play music in the background, it's going to sound cooler. So like I said, stick with us. We're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
Other than that, was there anything I missed, Tom?
No, I'm just going to mention I went to another show.
Oh, yes.
Tim, I know, is probably a little jealous.
Yeah, I am.
Went and saw... Well, it was all for a good cause as well. I went to the Hideout, which... have to say, first time there,
mm-hmm.
Wow, it lives up to its name.
Where's the Hideout located?
Hideout is up northern area of Chicago. It's in an industrial area.
You mean the north side?
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
It's, where is it by? It's by Elston and something else. Well, Elston and Waubonsia. It's close to. The Hideout, I think we mentioned, or I mentioned in a story about, say, towards maybe the beginning of the, this year or close to the end of last year, can't remember. But a couple of artists have worked there. I think Nico Case,
yes.
Bartended there. Some people from the Wilco did. So a place that not only they have music, but... musicians have worked there as well. Well, anyhow, the show was for the Chicago Children's Advocacy Center, which is a center set up in 01, or started in 01, but set up in 98 by Mayor Daley for abused children. And it was all a benefit for that center. All the money went towards that. Very good cause. But it was actually two shows. I went to the show at 7, but there was another show, I believe the same, or one different band. But both shows at 7 and 10 both featured Bill Callahan, which was really the big draw for a lot of people. I have to say, I was very surprised. Very diverse crowd, young and old, you know, didn't think I'd see that type of diversity. But being that Bill Callahan's been around for
a couple of decades, especially in his smog formation.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I'm, you know, thinking now that I'm not so surprised. But the show I saw was Bill Callahan and a band, or a man opened up for him, and he went under, he's called Axis Sova. Both shows, it was just a guy and their guitar. Axis Sova is a lot more sort of echoey, sort of guitar solo type sound. Definitely to hear more of his stuff, just Google Axis Sova. I'm sure you'll be able to hear some of his tracks. Then Bill Callahan came on.
The man, the myth, the legend.
And if you've seen him before, I say I'm surprised by the voice that comes out of him. I didn't think he has that low of a voice that just, when he starts singing, it's, you immediately are like, it immediately draws your attention, mm-hmm. and you really, it's no surprise he's been around for as long as he has been. I really, really enjoyed it. A couple low spots. One of my favorite tracks off of the last album, I Wish We're an Eagle, was Ide McClackshaw.
Very good track.
He did an odd version of it, being that he didn't have any other instruments, no drums, nothing. It was just him and his guitar. He did an echoey guitar version of it that, for some reason or other, I didn't like, didn't think it fit. But other than that, I totally enjoyed that show. You know, and I have to say, The Hideout has, for the place that it is, and, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, definitely for this place, doesn't look like this great-sounding place on the outside. When you get in there and you start, when you go in the back and the doors close, wow, does this place have some great sound. Definitely going to go back there again to see a band. Definitely encourage any of you guys listening, if you haven't been to the Hideout, definitely go. Hopefully Bill Callahan comes around again. I definitely want to see him. I know Tim probably does. I'd like to see him with an actual band to see how he does with that. I'm not sure if he does that as often or if this was just a one-off for this benefit, but definitely going to go see him again. Definitely going to go to the Hideout again. So, but anyhow, let's start it off with Hot Chip.
With Hot Chip. All right, Hot Chip formed in 2000. Members Alexis Taylor, Joe Goddard. They worked together previously at the Elliott School. We're already off in good shape, aren't we? Elliott School in Putney, London. Okay, now they have four albums, including their recent release. They are Coming On Strong, The Warning, Made in the Dark, and One Life Stand is what we're covering today. Now, I know I have a lot to say about this, so I'm actually going to keep the intro on this fairly quick. I figure if you're an indie music nerd like we are, chances are you know who Hot Chip is, and if you haven't, for Christ's sake, shut off the podcast, pick up Coming On Strong, and come back. I'll let you know what to expect in the next albums. I'm going to actually, in my own review, I'm actually going to talk a lot more about these previous three albums in comparison to One Life Stand, because I am a Hot Chip fan. And in the little break that we've had, I've actually gone back and re-listened to Made in the Dark and Coming On Strong, as well as The Warning, just to kind of give me a little more background when we actually sat down to talk about One Life Stand, so I would know what I was going to talk about. Like I said, since I really don't want to talk too much more just on their background, because I know, well, we all know I can blab on. So I'm just going to go ahead and give Tom first whack at this. Let me know. This is going to be the first review that we've done in a while, Tom, so hit it out of the park. Let me know what you thought of One Life Stand, the latest from Hot Chip.
To begin with, I think back, 2004, when Coming On Strong came out, I remember listening to them. I remember, I think I liked it. Been freaking 6 years since that album came out. I have it on my iPod. But initially with One Last Stand, really did the whole skip thing. And it took a couple, it took a quite a few listens. If we did this, if we actually did this show, what, 4 weeks ago? Yeah. This would have been a an album that I would have, you know, passed on. But being that we had 4 weeks with this where I could come back to it, I think this actually benefited this album. By the end of this, and by the time I'd say last week, I was really enjoying this album. Definitely. It's a grower. I think some of these albums we've done are, you know, growers. Some immediately,
yes,
just, you know, it's a grower, not a shower.
Exactly. Which really makes, and we should do it more often, you know, the kind of we should probably do like a mid-year kind of review.
Yeah.
But our end of year is always great. Heck, I think there was at least four or five in the running of our picks of the year that I kind of blew off because it didn't win me over at that time, like the album Wild Beast, and there's a couple more where they just didn't blow me away, you know, right off the bat. But over the years, or it's going to be over the year, and I guess years if you look forward, but wow, it really shakes you up and makes you realize, okay, I missed something. Why didn't I come around the first time around for this album? So
yeah,
all right, sorry.
Yeah, definitely, this was a one that sort of grew on me. Tracks like One Life Stand, Brothers, immediate, like, I really liked how Thieves in the I think it's Thieves in the Night started out. This album, there's the electronic sound, and then there's actual songs where there's words and stuff, and they definitely, it's a mixed bag of goodies in this album. This is an album that I will go back to time and time again, and definitely do, if you're listening to this album, do yourself a favor and put it on with some headphones. I really caught myself by surprise. I had listened to this album a couple times, then I put it on my iPod and put my headphones on and was like, wow, there's a lot more going on in this album than I initially thought. So definitely this is an album that I'm constantly going to keep on listening to. It has those great catches. It has a great sound. I think there's one song, I think it's Slush, that he just does a humana sound. I think it's Slush. Really, really could do without that. Just the humana thing. The rest of the song was good. Just a little an annoyance by that. Other than that, I really enjoyed this album. I didn't go back like Tim did, who has prior history with Hot Chip, and go and listen to their other stuff. Because I think you'll hear from Tim what he has to say. I wanted to be the guy on the other end of the spectrum that really came in, you know, with no history on Hot Chip.
Well, you enjoy ignorance.
I do. It's bliss. That's why.
Yeah, there you go.
So I want to hear what Tim has to say. I really enjoy this album. I'll let you know at the end if this is my pick for this week, or if maybe this is a really, this week may have been a good week and it may be a hard choice, but I will let you know at the end. Tim.
Oh, all right. Very good, very good. Good to get back into action, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes. Been a fan now. Even though I kind of missed the Warning, I did go back in the prior weeks and pick up the Warning. But you know, Love Coming on Strong when that came out. May in the Dark was definitely in a complete different direction from their first release. And then One Life Stand, I think I can sum up everything I want to say fairly quickly with One Life Stand is a huge jump backwards. I think the biggest difference from their first album over the previous, the following two albums, was a rapid increase in the BPMs of their songs. And what I mean by that is they've definitely gone for a more club-friendly sound. They are, don't get me wrong, they're awesome. They can do no wrong in my mind. Well, and so far they really haven't. But the problem that I felt with Men in the Dark, and even going back to The Warning, is the thing I love about Coming on Strong were the fact that they were actually doing more heartfelt ballads. I felt that there was 10 times more soul in that album than they did, in those two albums combined. Every once in a while they would, do something, even like the title track from Man in the Dark, they would do something that, it was a little slower, it was a little more introspective, and was actually a proper song, in my opinion, being a music critic, I'm just going to say a proper sort of song. But like I said, Coming on Strong just had so many great tracks on there that really were in my head and really overwhelmed me over the course of weeks, because I just kept coming back to it. I'm really glad that we did have an extra couple weeks, because I listened to Coming on Strong when it came out so many damn times, and I haven't actually listened to it in well over maybe a year or two. So it was nice that I actually went back, pulled that out, and listened to it again, because, son of a bitch, wow, I was just overwhelmed by how great that album is. I remember that being the more heartfelt album. The beats on that are so badass. It really kicks ass. It really does. I know we're not reviewing that album. I understand that. I know that's what your people are saying right now. But no. Okay, let's compare that album, because I think that's a much closer comparison, that first album, to One Life Stand. The reason why I say that is One Life Stand, it slows down the BPMs. It's a little slower, a little more paced, a little more methodic. The few that are actually a little more closer to that techno club sound that they've kind of grown into over the years are songs that, and the irony is there, it's strong, they're aware of it. Songs like Take It In, I Feel Better, which if you listen to it, and it was the first one that really got my ears perked, I think it's like the fourth or fifth track in, it's pretty quick on. I Feel Better has auto-tune in it.
Yeah.
And right away you're going, aww, why? Why, Hot Chip, why? Go on YouTube, watch the video for I Feel Better. Essentially, they're making fun of boy bands, and at the end, it's a complete WTF music video, because it gets weird, and people are blowing up. It's very Monty Python. For the most part, where it's kind of like that eerie, scary, but funny sort of humor of theirs. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, we're in on the joke. Okay, it makes a little more sense that, I can easily get past the auto-tune when they're making fun of, pop music. Okay, I get it. Alrighty. What else do I want to say about this? Just getting back to that thought where, yeah, they slow it down a little bit more. It's a little more paced. It's a little more methodic. Do they hit that uber high benchmark that I have in my head from their previous album, Coming on Strong? No, but it was very reminiscent of that, and I like the fact that they took the step forward. Or, excuse me, took the step backward. And they kept a lot of their pop sensibility that they developed in the last couple albums. But like I said, I like that rough and raw nature that Coming on Strong had, because everything was just completely unbridled, wild, crazy. And like I said, the beats were just crazy good. I mean, stuff that is in your head for weeks, and you would just start singing about Cold Craft Dinner and, Will Smith, because those lines just stick in your head so well. I was like, God damn. All right. I'm really excited to get back into the swing of this. I don't know if you can sense this at home, but bottom line for One Life Stand, I think for a fan who has been with them from the very beginning, you get a much bigger kick out of it. Like Tom said, it's not going to be the most easily enjoyable instant pick for the average listener. I noticed that right away, just thinking about when I was listening to it, I thought about all the things I liked about it, which were the things I was missing from their first album. They started to bring a little bit of that back, and I kept thinking to myself that, oh, wow, this is going to really turn off a lot of fans who might have only popped on since their Uber hit The Warning. You know, they might not be prepared for this other side of Hot Chip. So I'm going to say with a warning, this, to me, is a buy album. But, you know, if you want something that's a little peppier in its sound and definitely will keep you rocking into the night, I would actually take a look at Man in the Dark. I think that's a really solid album. And for me, it's something that I've been listening to on and off for the last couple. When did that come out? 08? Oh, I'm looking at the album, or it's Wikipedia right now. I should know. Yeah, very first part of 08, February of 08. So I've been listening to that, you know, for at least a year and a half since I picked it up. I would pick up that one if you definitely don't want something that you have to work to get yourself into. One Life Stand is one that you have to introduce yourself to Hot Chip first to really see the bits and pieces that they insert of themselves, because there's a lot of their sound there that is, it's familiar territory. And I think that's what makes it such a great, warm, inviting album. Not something that I recommend to the novice to Hot Chip. All right, let's move this on, Tom. Let's get to your pick for the week, Gil Scott Heron.
Gil Scott Heron with his release after about 16 years, called I'm New Here. Gil Scott Heron, many of you may have heard of him, and many of you probably haven't. He's a poet, musician, and author. He had stuff in late
70s. Opera, pirate, a poet, yeah.
He had work in the late 70s and early 80s. Some people have even called him the godfather of rap. He's been around for quite some time. Born in Chicago, but primarily raised in Jackson, Tennessee with his maternal grandmother. He has a kid of his own. He's 61 years old now. He's had some problems. Schooling. He went to the Filton School. He has actually got a scholarship like for that. He's done some recordings. I believe big piece of his is Pieces of a Man. Because if I knew where cover was, and he toured for a while. He, you know, had some releases. Then in the 80s, he only released about three albums. Toured. In 85, he was dropped by his record label. In 93, he released an album called Spirits, and pretty much. The song on that was called Message to the Messengers, where he pretty much criticized the rap artists of that day for not doing what the founders of rap had done, was use their spoken words, use your, mm-hmm. their music to further a political mindset. You come from here, you know, early rap, you know, Grand Method.
I was going to go actually jump right into, like, N.W.A., where it was very early on documentation of a side of a culture, much like the film Boys in the Hood, mm-hmm. Really any of that early Spike Lee movement, where he's showing you a side of society that is not seen in the mainstream.
No.
The only time you see it is on the local news, and then it's just, you know, someone shot someone. Yeah. You know, there is actually a little more story to the background, where here's our society, here's us looking from the inside out. So,
and I'll just take what they say here on Wikipedia. Message to the Messenger was a plea to the new generation of rappers to speak for change rather than to perpetuate the current social situation, and to be more articulate and more artistic. Really, he needs to do this again, because too often we all see the rap of today, which is just, you know, look at my gold, look at my money.
It's more of a message of status as a message of social commentary.
And
but you can say that about any genre of music, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But
it would be nice to have rappers that came out and, you know, showed you what this culture was. I think too many of us forget. Mm-hmm. And I think any good artist or any good poet sort of brings light to a situation and maybe moves people to change that situation.
And there are some, let's not overlook entire genre.
No.
It's just unfortunate. And it's more, I think, more of a problem of mainstream media that, well, I was going to say, you can't turn on MTV and see you know, this and that artist. You can't turn on MTV and see any artist. You're going to be watching The Hills reruns, you know. But I think a lot of it has to do with the interest. The labels just aren't putting their time, their money into that. I think that's more of an issue than, you know, there are shit artists all up and down every genre, every outlet. So, you know, you really can't blame them. It's just the fact that the good ones aren't getting the publicity they need.
Yeah, and this is actually a line from Gil Scott in the 90s that he said in an interview. They need to study music. I played in several bands before I began my career as a poet. There's a big difference between putting words over some music and blending those same words into the music. There's not a lot of humor. They use a lot of slang and colloquialisms, and you don't really see inside the person. Instead, you see a lot of posturing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's still true of, like what Tim said, a lot of rap, but a lot of other music. But going back to his little bio, unfortunately, he had some cocaine problems. He did a 3-year time in New York for cocaine, and then I believe he wrote a book called The Last Holiday, and then he started recording a new album called I'm New Here, which is what we're going to talk about. So after my lengthy and long sort of tirade and rambling about Gil Scott Heron, Tim, what did you think of I'm New Here?
Unfortunately, it was such a great intro for for an artist. I'm not going to actually piss on this album because, all right, I had a lot more to say about this, but unfortunately, I know that I'm not as sharp as I would have been 3 weeks ago. So I'm going to say this much. I would have much rather read a book of Gil Scott Heron's poetry and listen to a Tricky album than listen to this album. Because, and this album musically does actually remind me a lot of his Blowback album, Tricky Blowback. Some great beats, some awesome samples in here. There's some really cool music. There is also some very great spoken word. Here's the problem. There's not enough, and it doesn't go anywhere, and it feels very disjointed and disheveled, and just like, it feels very piecemeal, and that might have a lot to do with the 16-year hiatus, and the, you know, his own personal problems and tribulations, getting him in the studio to finish a damn album. I feel like that really tore this album apart. A more cohesive, well, I don't know about cohesive, but I think another analogy that I was thinking of while listening to this, because, oh, let's put it this way. If we play, we'll play a track somewhere in here, but so you can listen, at least part of the track, so you can listen to this artist. Well, the problem is that it sounds good, doesn't it? Isn't this an awesome song? Oh, I love this song. Okay, here's the problem. Every song is pretty good, but it's very much reminiscent of if you go on Amazon or iTunes or wherever and you listen to an album, a 30-second clip of each song, and you're like, okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. You leave with about the same feeling as if you listen to this entire album. Each song basically feels like a sample of a song. There doesn't feel to be like a whole story being told. Like I said, the music itself, it sounds good. They're awesome samples. They go nowhere. They stop, they start, that's it. It's very unfulfilling. The spoken word, same thing. Everything just feels like fragments. And while there is some story being told, and he's talking a lot about, it's basically a lot about an old man looking back on his youth and his growth into manhood. And, you know, a few little pit stops on the way. Okay, there is a story being told here, but like I said, I would rather read this in a fully realized, fleshed out a novel, or like I said, book of poetry here, and listen to a better album. Because when it's over and done with, you just feel like you got a taste of something good. And I think that's the thorn in this album's side, is that you really feel like you're only getting a taste of this artist. You don't feel like you've had a full experience with him. I think that's probably the biggest thing to get across, is that you just don't feel like he takes you on the journey. It's like he's showing you, you know, he's showing you the sights, but at the same time, you're not experiencing, you know, it's kind of like taking a bus tour of city landmarks, but never getting out to look around. I think that's the best. Well, that's actually a pretty good analogy, better than my my iTunes one. So anyway, yeah, it really feels like you're only getting bits and pieces. It doesn't feel like a full story. It feels very piecemeal. And like I said, at the very end, as much as you may like, you know, some of these tracks, they don't fill you up at all, and you feel like you kind of got gypped. So, all right, Tom, what's your take on this one? I've been interested to hear what you had to say.
I really disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from on this. I could have done without a lot of the little interludes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have just put those on an EP of just with his interludes. I think it breaks up the flow and the feeling of this album with every other track where it's an interlude. I enjoyed this because I really liked the beats.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the spoken word. He does sing on some of this.
Yeah, towards the end. Yeah,
I really liked this. It did feel like this old man really bearing his soul about his life, and I think that's what most music is. But you never. You rarely get where the artist just comes out and flatly says, you know, this is what I've been through and this and this and this. On this, he doesn't have anything to hide. He's, you know, he's been an artist for most of his life, and I think this is sort of, you know, him coming into his old age and saying, you know what, I've got nothing to hide. I'm going to put it on an album and just let it be for what it is. I was surprised with the beats on this. You know, and then when I hear spoken word, I'm a little put back. But on this, definitely his voice and how he speaks really works well with, I think, with these beats on here. I think it really whets my appetite for what he has coming next. I think Tim would say the same. I think you're more disappointed than anything. That, you know, this guy who's been around for, you know, 3 decades. And, you know, for Tim, that, you know, he sort of left empty-handed in a way.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I enjoyed for what it was. It's not a great album. But what it is just a story of a guy who's had some shit happen to him, had some great things happen to him, but he's just sort of reminiscing about it. It probably could have been shorter, with all these interludes. It probably could have. And not all these tracks aren't that very long either. They're 2, 3, 4. I think the longest is about 4.5 minutes long. But I think the thing that really got me in this was his words. I think my favorite track on here is probably Running, where he talks about running for cover, and he really just goes and just for some reason that song, his words really grabbed me. That was the one song that, or just the one track that really grabbed my attention. And
until I became a 3, 4,
really like
five,
Me and the Devil,
6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
I can definitely hear his soul
that held a
background there and a sort of jazz.
And like
also,
them four, I
he could very easily do some good blues.
I loved her.
He's got that raspy sort
of
like
bones,
you know, gravelly voice that you know could make some mean vocals for a
she
good
had
blues
more
album.
Than the five
he
senses.
Has the chords
she knew more
of a
than
hard
looks
line.
Teach.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
you can hear what he's been through just by
higher,
you know listening to him say
all around
potato.
That's one wicked potato.
But yeah, this is a good album. Is it a great album? No. This is an album for me that that has me waiting for what he's going to do next, hoping that this is just a 1 foot in the door of him coming back into music, because after 15 years, you stumble a little bit, and maybe that's what Tim was sort of disappointed in. If you hear a guy who's been gone for as long as he has, you expect more. I, on the other hand, this is a good album. This is one I can listen to, time in, not in a, constant basis, but come back to and enjoy pieces of it. One thing I will say, this could have been a better pieced together album. Maybe a little bit I can say that this is, could have been, a lot of them sound like, sort of singles. Mm-hmm. I think this could have been a better laid out album without the interludes and stuff. Could have been shorter. Maybe that was a thing.
I think that's where our biggest agree to disagree is that you think it could have been shorter. I think it needed to be longer because, yeah, you're right. If you do strip down a couple of the elements, the interludes, which I didn't hate in particular, it would just be a very quick EP, yeah. And it might actually, you have a point there where it might have actually worked a lot better if it was just an EP, because my expectations will be a lot lower, and I'd be like, well, and that would work for the album where I said this sounded like a sample of something good. It would have worked 100 times better saying that, okay, here's a taste of this artist. Yeah. Let's see what the album is. It doesn't, because like I said, to me this just doesn't feel like an album. It feels like, yeah, it feels like a glorified EP or sampler of this artist.
So I think both of us will probably agree this is sort of just a sample of hopefully what Mr. Heron has left in him. I mean, hopefully we see him coming back into the music scene and doing more albums. And really showing what the stuff he's been through the last 16 years, because a lot can happen in 16 years and make you a different artist than 16 years ago. And I think maybe Tim will agree, I don't know, it maybe make him a better artist.
Yeah, he definitely needs a better studio experience than what this was. I know who this is ultimately the fault of. Did they just say, hey, let's put this album out and release what we have? It kind of sounds to me like that's what this was. We spent enough time on this guy, and we can't finish this properly. Let's just put out what we got. That's a lot of what I was left with listening to this. And maybe next time around he'll put out something solid. So, all right, let's move on, shall we? Oh, sorry, did you have anything else to add to that? All right, well, let's move on with our final album of this week. It's going to be Ted Leo and the Pharmacist with the album The Brutalist Bricks. Ted Leo's actually been around for quite a while. He started Ted Leo and the Pharmacist. Actually, as a solo project in 99, he did have some collaboration with Jody Beebe. In the 99-2000 era of the Pharmacist. But he finally started to add some true Blue members in 2000. In 2001, when they were actually signed to Lookout Records. Now, they were Lookout Records until 06, and they finally left them and decided to join up with the Chicago-based outfit. The Chicago-based Touch and Go, that's right, Touch and Go Records. Now, they really started to flourish with Touch and Go. Their latest release is actually with Matador, though. Their 2010 release, of course, I'm talking about the Brutalist Bricks. All right, that's just a little background to Ted Leo. Let's go ahead and jump right into the album. As soon as Tom finishes his jelly beans. I'm sorry, I would have timed this out a little better if I realized you're stuffing your mouth over there. Okay, no. Wow, this was a really good week, Tom. How about you? How about this weather? It's starting to warm up.
It's nice. sorry, I like jelly beans, and I didn't get any when I went to Walmart, so I'm eating some right now.
The Starburst ones are the best. I'll have to help myself here. Go ahead, talk, Tom. Talk about the Brutalist Bricks.
Anyhow, again, this is an album. If we did 3 weeks ago, I would have hated.
Really.
Ted Leo, if you've heard of Ted Leo, you know he's been around for a while. I've seen stuff on IFC with Ted Leo playing at different shows. One of those bands I've heard of before. Just, I don't know if it was the, like, hipster in me that didn't want to get into him or what it was. Or just, I'm lazy. let's go with the latter. I'm lazy. But this would have been an album that I would have gone, meh. You know what? It started off... the very fast-paced songs. And starts off, I think the track, The Mighty Sparrow, really starts off, First four tracks are all still, after 4 weeks, sort of an eh to me.
Really?
I think the album, for me personally, really hits its stride and sort of stays interesting to me, at least, comes after track 5, The Stick. I enjoyed every track after that. Tracks 1 through 4 were really a throwaway as far as I'm concerned. They slow up. I can't remember what track it is. Really like Woke Up Near Chelsea. Track 5 through 13 are good. This really could have been a 9-track album for me, and I would have been happy. Could have started off with The Stick. Throw away the first 3 or 4, I'm sorry. As far as it goes, a very quick album. Songs come in about 3 minutes to 4 minutes or so. And really upbeat, rocky sound. I don't listen to lyrics. Tim does. If there's lyrics that really inspired Tim, I'll let him talk about them. I don't listen to lyrics. You guys know that. I'm not going to start now. if I can figure out what track it was, the one that was really that slowed itself down. Initially, I thought that sort of threw a wrench in the whole album at that point. As I listened to it more, I enjoyed it. I was like, okay, they can do a sort of very fast, sort of rocky indie sound, but they can also slow it down as well. And at the end of this, and you know, since this is the third album we're talking about, this is a recommend. This is a recommend. Would I buy it if I went in the store? No, probably be Hot Chip. Hot Chip of this week really was the one that. At the end of all this really wowed me, and you know, finally after 4 albums I can understand why people really like Hot Chip. after listening to Brutal Bricks, I'm still on the fence to some degree with Ted Leo. If you know of another good album by him that would make me more interested, let me know. Brutalist Bricks, good album, great, no. Has a lot of the sounds that have been in the indie and the rock scene for a while. But as far as it goes, good album. Gil Scott-Heron I would recommend too. Definitely, you know, with him, myself included, I'm going to go listen to Gil Scott's later work or earlier work. And you know what? After listening to Brutalist Bricks, I may go listen to some early works from Ted Leo and The Pharmacist just to see if they've progressed any. But to be totally honest, this was a good album. Is it going to be an album I'm going to listen to more and more or just keep on listening to? Probably not. Hot Chips, One Life Stand. Or is it One Life Stand? Yeah. Hot Chips, yeah, One Life Stand, is an album I'm going to listen to probably, again and again, like I have been. I just turn on tracks and they catch you. As far as Ted Leo goes, Woke Up Near Chelsea, The Stick, I want to say there's one more, maybe Tuberculides, Arrive and Hop is another one. From track 5 through 13, it's a good album. 1 through 4 could just throw away. Tim, what are your thoughts on Mr. Ted Leo?
You know, I like that you are the yin to my yang. You really are. No, that was queer. Seriously, how come we it's like we agree, but in completely different ways.
That's why we know nothing.
That's why we know nothing. That's correct. I would disagree this is an album. This is a pill that gives worms to ex-girlfriends. No, this is an album that, for me, right off the bat, I love. I still love. Again, like the previous couple albums, I had a lot more to say about this, but with the little gap in between, plus we're running a little late, I'm going to just simplify this as much as possible. This reminded me of Spoon's Transference album, where they decided to take their sound from ga, 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 and strip it down to something that's very rough, raw, early Spoon sound. I think, and they did it, Spoon did a decent job, but for me, Ted Leo with Brutalist Bricks did a... It essentially did what they wanted to do. They are who Spoon wanted to be. They did an indie rock album that sounds indie rock. And what I love about this is a group that... this incarnation of Ted Leo has been around for over a decade. And he is still... He still has a very pure sound to his music. What I mean by that is when you... The whole time listening to this album over the past couple weeks, the thing that is kept coming to my mind is local town or local small town band makes good. This sounds like a garage rock band that has some talent and got in the studio and actually put out a solid album. To me, this is the rough, raw, indie rock sound that I wanted to hear. This, it just works. It hits, all the notes. I think, if anything, he manages to fake immaturity in their sound, which is, I can understand, might have been part of the turnoff for Tom. Those first four tracks, I thought those were stellar. I mean, I think every track in this just works. And not only does it just work, it gets better and better. I think this first few songs are a little more simple in their approach. They're just off the gate. I think he wanted just to go ahead and kind of launch right into some wild music right off the gate and hit it off of a fun rock album. I think that might have been a little more of a turnoff for Tom, whereas the later tracks, he works a little more on his craft. and I think there's a little more cohesive element to it. I can see that, or at least that side of Tom's thinking. So I will give, I'll give Tom that, but for me, this is the instant buy slash recommend for the week. Gil Scott Heron, not so much. Not so much. Unless you really want to hear some, you know, cool backing music under some awesome spoken word, and you come into it thinking it's an EP, then okay, that would work. Otherwise, like I said, I would say, for the most part, that's just a pass. Hot Chip is more of the download album. Unless, like I said before, unless you're just the huge Hot Chip album that's familiar with their early coming on strong sound, the lower BPMs, taking their time, taking it a little easy. This album's 10 times more chill. Keep that in mind than The Warning or Made in the Dark. So as long as you know that and you're cool with that, then that would be a recommend. Otherwise, like I said, that's more of a download. Check it out. If you don't like it, you didn't spend too much money on it. So other than that, like I said, that's pretty much, just to summarize it, because we are running long, just summarize it, yeah, Brilla's Bricks, I just love that album. I just thought that that was one that was a pure joy to listen to each and every time. Every once in a while, coming on, or excuse me, One Life Stand was a little bit of a chore. You know, only if I'm not really into that, if I wasn't in that mood for it, I wasn't crazy about it. But this was one that it had me from the very first time I listened to it to the last time I just listened to it. In fact, I even made one, was it Waking Chelsea, one of the ones you mentioned? Bless you. I made that one of the picks for, if you go back and listen to the last episode, which wasn't a real episode, it was just a kind of a music episode. I made that one of my picks on there. Well, I mean, I did one from each artist, but still, that was probably one of my favorite songs from Ted Leo, and it's just one that I can listen to over and over again. So, all right, I have nothing more to add for this. Tom, do you have anything else to say?
Well, I think I have a pick for... Okay. Me next time. I believe we're going to do next week, right?
Yes.
Yes. Mine is the new one from a British artist that I've grown, or I've loved for quite some time. You know her as Goldfrapp. I don't know if Tim's liked her, have you?
I've listened to her stuff. I can't say I was a fan, but I have listened to her first album.
Supernature, I think it was.
It might have been.
Album. Well, she's got a new album. This came out on the 22nd of last month, which would be March, called Head First. I've been looking forward to this album. I know it's been a while, or a couple weeks since it came out, so I'm looking forward to talking about that. That's my only pick, I believe, because Tim, you had at least two picks.
I have 1,000 picks since... Because I mentioned that, you know, we were backlogged on awesome albums, or at least awesome artists that we wanted to talk about before we took a month-long break. So a couple that I was really looking forward to, and if I really have to narrow it down to two that I want to talk about next week. First and foremost, I want to talk about She and Him. Their Volume 2 just released. Yes. That is available now. So go ahead and you can get it on Amazon, iTunes, or Merge in the U.S., or you can get it at Amazon, iTunes, or Domino in the UK / Europe. Okay, and the other one, I believe, wasn't this a pick for both of us, or one of us? No, maybe not both of us, but, well, it was an album that Tom and I really enjoyed last year. I can't remember if I made it to our year-end picks or not without looking. Bonnie Prince Billy has a brand new one out, so Will Oldham, if you remember him, he puts out 3 or 4 albums a year. In fact, we only covered his, I think it was his Beware in 09. He came out with Fun Time Come Down a little bit later with his Bonnie Billy and the Picket Line. But the one we're actually going to be talking about, because that was an 09 release, the 2010 release that we are going to do is The Wonder Show of the World, which is Bonnie Prince Billy and the Cairo Gang. You know, that's an artist that just, he just keeps working and working, but he puts out solid music. So, really looking forward to The Wonder Show of the World. All right. I think we covered just about everything, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I got to say. Get the hell out.
Later, everybody.
All right.
And we'll be back next week.
Thank you, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
It seems so crazy.